And he says, "Brethren, ye have no mother and no father to take care of you. If ye will not take care of each other, who else, I ask, will do so? Brethren, he who would wait on me, let him wait on the sick." So here the Buddha is laying down a very important principle. In fact, he's laying down more than one principle. To begin with, he's asserting an absolute discontinuity between the biological family and the spiritual family, so to speak, or between the group and the spiritual community. Once you enter the spiritual community, you no longer belong to the group. You have no connection with the group. You no longer rely upon it. "Brethren, ye have no mother and no father to take care of you." The Buddha does not mean, surely, that your mother and father are dead in the literal sense. He means that, spiritually speaking, they no longer exist. That is to say, no longer exist as your mother and father. You can, therefore, no longer depend upon them as mother and father. No longer depend on them to take care of you. You can no longer take refuge in them. This is what is meant by the going forth. It's a going forth from home into homelessness. Going forth from the group to the spiritual community. It means, spiritually speaking, that the group no longer exists. The family no longer exists. And since they no longer exist, one no longer relies on them, no longer takes refuge in them. Once you enter the spiritual community, only the spiritual community exists. There's no fallback position. One's sole refuge is the Tri Ratna, the triple gem, the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. One relies only on other members of the spiritual community. And that means that other members of the spiritual community rely on you. You rely on one another. You take care of one another. You encourage one another. You inspire one another. And all this certainly applies to our own spiritual community in the widest sense. Applies, that is to say, to the order. We have, in fact, no mother and no father to take care of us. What was formerly done by the family, what was formerly done by the group, must now be done by the spiritual community and more. Must now be done by our spiritual friends. But suppose it is not done. Suppose someone is left as that sick monk was left. Not necessarily just someone who is ill. Maybe someone who is depressed. Someone who is experiencing psychological difficulties. Someone who is not finding the spiritual life very enjoyable. If he is left, whether because he is useless or for any other reason, what may happen? Well, what may happen is that he may drift or slide or wander back to the group, back to the family, back to mother or wife or girlfriend, may go in search of comfort and consolation. And it's important that we should realize this. It's important that as members of the spiritual community, we should realize that we've no refuge, no real refuge, no true refuge, except one another. No friends except one another. Better to say, no real friends except spiritual friends. From the group, we can expect absolutely nothing. Nor should we. From the family, we can expect absolutely nothing. Brethren, ye have no mother and no father to take care of you. We belong absolutely to the spiritual community, belong absolutely to one another. We should be prepared, therefore, to live and to die for one another. Otherwise, we've not really gone for refuge. Our future is with one another. We are one another's future. We have no future apart from one another. So, if ye will not take care of each other, who else, I ask, will do so? If order members do not love one another, who else will love them? If order members do not inspire one another, who else will inspire them? If order members cannot be happy with one another, who else can they be happy with? If they cannot come together with one another, who else can they come together with? Perhaps we should enjoy one another's company more, appreciate one another more, value one another more. The Buddha certainly valued the brethren highly. He says, brethren, he who would wait on me, let him wait on the sick. The Buddha is not being mystical or metaphysical here. He's dealing with the realities of life in the spiritual community. By the sick, he means sick brethren. That is to say, fellow members of the spiritual community. If one wants to wait on the Buddha, one should wait on them. Thus, the Buddha, in a sense, equates members of the spiritual community with himself. And it would hardly be possible for him to value them more highly than that. If he has a teacher, let his teacher take care of him so long as he is alive and wait for his recovery. If he has a tutor or a lodger, a disciple or a fellow lodger or a fellow disciple, such should take care of him and await his recovery. Thus all conceivable relationships within the spiritual community are covered. Teacher should take care of pupil and pupil of teacher. Fellow disciple should take care of fellow disciple. Occupants of the same vihara, or as we would say, the same spiritual community, should take care of one another. In sickness and in health, there should be unfailing kindness between them, unfailing spiritual friendship. If no one takes care of him, it shall be reckoned an offence. Offence in this connection means an unskillful action that needs to be confessed. The responsibility for the care of each member rests on the whole spiritual community. The responsibility for positivity, responsibility for inspiration. Ultimately, all are responsible for each, and each is responsible for all to the extent of their strength. Otherwise, there can be no spiritual community, no order. It's not just a matter of a sick monk being neglected by the brethren. It's not just a simple case of diarrhea. It's a case of unfailing mutual kindness, a case of personal interest, a case of harmonious and effective action. It's a case of treating persons as persons, a case of communication and taking delight, a case of recognizing the absolute discontinuity between the group and the spiritual community. Above all, it's a case of mutual responsibility and mutual spiritual friendship. It's not a case of something that happened in the past, 2,500 years ago. It's a case of something that is happening in the present, now, something that will happen in the future. It's not a case of something that concerned the ancient brethren. It's a case of something that concerns their modern successors. Our